declaring there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Tuned in to the voice.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Declare recovery, restoration, and reconciliation. Hallelujah. How's it going to happen? It's going to happen by divine instruction, divine opportunity, and divine appointments. And we thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for the appointments that are ordained by the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you the glory and the praise. And we've been talking about making God your only source, not your number one source. I'm not talking about number one, because that implies there's a two, three, four, and a five. I'm talking about making him your only source. Amen. And so all the while we're standing in faith and being doers of the word, we have to be careful that we maintain our love walk. Hallelujah. So today we're going to take the love checkup. Amen. Because faith won't work without love. So today we're going to take a love checkup. We're going to check your love pulse and see how strong it is or how weak it is. But we're going to find out today how you're doing in your love walk. Amen. Checkups are a way that we maintain good health by catching things that are wrong early. Amen. Checkups provide early diagnosis of potential problems and allow us to correct things and restore order before they get out of hand. You don't want strife running amok in your life. You don't want unforgiveness in your heart to get a stronghold in you. You don't want bitterness to settle down in your spirit. So we're going to check your love walk out today. Amen. We're going to look at love, and we're going to refresh ourselves in the love of God today. Amen. Because we can have all the faith to move mountains, but we don't have love, we ain't got nothing. Amen. If we're not loving each other and caring about each other and loving God and serving Him, then we're just missing the mark. So we are standing in faith. Let me talk to you just for a minute about your stand of faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. The Amplified Bible says, be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. So we should live by faith, and we should stand in faith and be firm in faith. That's your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. So the Bible says that we're to stand in our faith. Amen. We should take a strong stand in faith and not be moved out of faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, not that we have dominion over you or lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers to promote your joy. Listen to this. For in your faith, in your strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through him we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, you stand firm. So he's saying, stand firm in this conviction here that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal life. You got to stand firm in that conviction that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Messiah. He is the one that made atonement for our sins. Don't be moved from that conviction. Stand firm in your faith that Jesus is Lord. Praise God. But all the while we're standing firm in faith, we have to make sure that we persevere and that we persist and that we are unyielding in our love walk. How many of you know that love and faith go together? You can't have faith without love, and you can't have love without faith. Now, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We're going to get to the checkup here in a minute, but I need to just talk about the love of God here so we can see this real clear. In Romans chapter 8, we're just going to look at one verse there. Verse 38. Let's look at 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this is the powerful scripture here, because it says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. That simply means that God loves you, and there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. Nothing can separate you from his love. Not even sin can separate you from the love of God. Does God love sin? No, but he loves you in spite of your sin. Amen? God loved us while we were yet sinners. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. Listen at it. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see that God demonstrated his love by giving us Jesus. By sending Jesus to be our Savior, God demonstrated his love. He didn't just tell us that he loved us, he demonstrated it. Amen? Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Romans 5. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. Amen? Now, the Amplified says this. It says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. Hallelujah. So God demonstrated his love for you and me by allowing Jesus to die in our place. Notice that Jesus didn't die for himself. Who did he die for? You know, there wasn't nothing wrong with him, but there was plenty wrong with us. He took our sin so we could have his righteousness. He took our curse so we could have his blessing. He took our deaths so we could have his life. He took our poverty so we could have his abundance. He took our sickness and disease so we could have his health and healing. Oh, the cross was a place of divine exchange. That's why the Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God to those that believe. Hallelujah. So God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus to the cross for us. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 19. Well, let's go back up to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, God has revealed himself to you. Amen. But there is a spirit of wisdom and revelation that God will give to you that will enlighten your understanding, that will open your understanding. You remember after Jesus was raised from the dead and there were two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and Jesus came right up alongside them and started talking to them, and they were talking about the things that had transpired in Jerusalem in these last few days. And Jesus said, what's going on? And they say, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what just happened? Everybody know what happened. And then Jesus began to expound the scriptures. The Bible said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding that they might see, that they might have revelation, that they might have spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is not possible without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that means flooded with light, that you may know three things, that you might know the hope of his calling, that you'll know why you're here, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, God wants you to have a revelation of why you're here. He also wants you to have a revelation of the provision that he's made available to you while you're here. That you would have revelation of the inheritance that he has made available to the saints. And then the third thing he wants you to understand, and that's the one I was trying to get to. And what is the exceeding greatness? Everybody say exceeding greatness. Y'all know what great is? We're not just talking about great power. We're talking about power that exceeds greatness. We're talking about unlimited power. We're talking about power that surpasses power. It's like when your muscles have muscles. You know, it's one thing to have muscles, but it's another thing when your muscles got muscles. We're talking about God's exceeding great power here. Power that is beyond great. Power that's beyond description. Power that can't be contained. Power that can't be defined. So much power that it have no limits on it. And the Bible says God wants you to have a revelation of that kind of power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? This power is made available to us who believe. Unlimited, exceeding great power. I don't know how much power it took to save me, but I know it was enough to break all of the devil's strongholds out of my life. I know it was enough to deliver me from sin. I know it was enough to translate me into the kingdom of his dear son. I know it was enough to raise me to newness of life. I know it was enough to impart eternal life into my spirit. I came to tell you how much it was, but I know it was enough for my salvation. And enough for my eternity that I'll live forever with God. Exceeding great power that he demonstrated, listen to this, that he demonstrated when he raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Where's Jesus now? He's not in the tomb. He's not buried.